Devar Malchus, Parshas Shmini. Periodically, Parshas Shmini is read 8 times in a row. That's interesting because Shmini means 8th, which refers to the 8th day of setting up the Mishkan in the desert. And in those years when it's read 8 times, it gives rise to the expression Shmini Shmoina Shmeina, which means, when you translate it, Parshas Shmini, the 8th, is read Shmoine 8 times, and then the year will be Shmeina, fat, rich, with material and spiritual abundance. And then the Rebbe adds, since this year may not be happening, it is that it's drawn into all the years until the next time that it's going to be read 8 times. So it's not just not just relevant when it happens, but it has an ongoing effect. So the 8th that is mentioned in this parsha is the beginning of the dwelling of the Shekhinah in the Mishkan. The world derives from 7. The number 7 is the world, 7 days of creation, etc. And 7 represents the godly light as it is enclosed in the creation. So what's number 8? Number 8 represents the godly light that's above creation. And it's specifically on the 8th day that we find the Shekhinah being revealed in the Mishkan. Hashem's intent in creating the world is that the godly light that is above the world, which we say is the number 8, that's our Parsha Shmini, will not remain separate, but rather will be drawn down and will be revealed in the world in a way that the world on its own terms, on the worldly terms, will be able to receive this revelation. This means the revelation above limitation being unified with limitation itself. When these two aspects are unified, the recipient becomes a vessel to accept this revelation in an internalized way. The revelation of the Shekhinah in Masi Adecha, the work of your hands, which is the Mishkan. This is exemplified in the words of Chazal, that in the place of the Aron Kodesh, which is where the Luchos, the tablets from Har Sinai, were contained, that place where it was put in the Beis HaMikdash transcended limitation. Expression is Mokum an Aaron Enemin Amida. It transcends limitation. The Aaron itself had precise measurements, and the room had precise measurements, but the place transcended limitation, meaning limitation and the unlimited could coexist together. That the unlimited can be grasped by and within the bounds of the lower entity, which is limited. Not unlimited, but the unlimited can be grasped within the limited. That the Rebbe explains this in a different sicha, not in our Dvar Malchus, but just to give a background and understanding to what we're talking about. So now quoting the Rebbe from sicha from Tav Shem Mem Beis. The Talmud states that the Mokum Aaron Enemin Amida, the position occupied by the Aaron HaKodesh, did not take up any space. That is, the Aaron had definite physical dimensions, 2.5 cubits length, 1.5 cubits width, 1.5 cubits height. Logically then, when placed in the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Aaron should have occupied this amount of space. Yet the Gemara tells us it took up no space at all. And this is logically impossible, for it is the synthesis of two opposites, the finite and the infinite. Yet, in the case of the Aaron, it existed. Not only did the Aaron transcend the limits of nature, itself a great miracle, since the Aaron was made of physical gold, but simultaneously, the finite and infinite coexisted together in it. The Aaron had definite physical limits, yet took up no space. Its concept is made possible from a level that transcended both of them, allowing the synthesis of these two opposites. That's what the Rebbe says in the Sicha, Chav Gimel Elul Tov Shin Mem Beis, just as a background to what we're talking about. Now, we find this as well, Rebbe continues in our Sicha of Dvar Malchus, in the Avodah Vayit. There is his limited and measured Avodah, as befits his level where he's holding, to make himself into a vessel to internalize the revelations. And in additionally, there's the avodah of Bechol Meodecha, with all of your might, a vessel to receive Elikus above the limitations of the person. The ultimate goal, says the Rebbe, is the unification of these two forms of avodah, meaning you're doing what you can do according to your level, and you're doing with all your might, meaning you're a vessel to receive above limitation. The ultimate goal is the unification of these two forms of Avodah. To summarize, Shmini, which means 8th, is the unlimited, whereas Shmoine which is the number 8, is the unlimited as it is contained in the qualities of limitation, which is 7. So the unification of limited and unlimited, the ultimate intent of creation. This is the whole idea over here of the unification of 7 and 8. The revelation of the level of godliness that is above the limitation of the world is specifically via the avodah from below to above, within the limitations of the world. As with the 8, which comes specifically from the 7 that precedes it. Thus we find that the limited and measured avodah is connected in its source with that highest level above the source of the unlimited. Similar to what we find with the Aron Kodesh, the concept of the Enu Min Amida, that it transcends limitation, it's not measurable, comes specifically because the Aron had defined measurements. In other words, when you do the avodah on the level of limited and measured, you reveal that in its source it's even higher than the unlimited. Which really, if you look into the Sikha to understand these sort of lofty things. The Rebbe continues that Chesed and Gvura are the spiritual root of limited and unlimited. Chesed is the attribute of kindness and giving, and Gvura is the opposite. So Alter Rebbe explains that it's not Tzimtzum, contraction and limitation, but rather the attribute of might that can overpower other forces. That's what Gevura is. Gevura is not limiting things, rather it's the power that can overcome the other things. So Gevura is not the absence of Chesed, but rather a higher level of might, of Gevura, that can conceal the Chesed. Gevura brings about Golus, but it itself is a powerful level of Kedusha, as explained in Chassidus regarding the special quality of the light that comes from the darkness. Geula, as explained many times in the Rebbe Sichas, is attained by adding to the word Geula. Geula means exile, and if you add Aleph to Geula, Aleph representing the Eibishter, Aluf Shalaylam, so you get Geula. So how do we add this Aleph? In this Sikha, the Rebbe says that by adding the Aleph is by our deeds and our avodah during the time of Golus, upon which the Geula is dependent on our avodah. Through this, the exile itself, Geula, becomes Geula. The main thing, says the Rebbe, is that through our deeds and our avodah during the duration of exile, we bring the Geula. It is specifically the concealments and limitations of Golis which give the strength to bring Geula. Because we said, what is Golis? It's Gevura. Gevura is really a stronger level of Kedusha. This is similar to the statement of our sages. Everyone who fulfills the Torah amidst poverty will in the end fulfill it amidst wealth. Via the poverty of exile, as the sages say, there is no one who is poor except in knowledge, and oni ela b'das. We receive the true wealth of knowledge and wealth in the simple sense, in the true and complete geula. This is especially since we have already fulfilled any obligations. This is now quoting the Rebbe. We have already fulfilled any obligations to endure the limitation of poverty in the previous generations, meaning primarily poverty of knowledge. Now there is freedom and abundance, harchova, in a simple sense, from the kingship of the nations. Thus, we can learn, turn, and fulfill mitzvahs in a relaxed state of mind and body, menuchas ha-nevesh, menuchas ha-guf, with wealth in Torah, via the printing of many sforim, some of which have been hidden until now, the Rebbe explains. For this reason, the Geula will have both the positive quality of Geula and the positive quality of Golus, the quality of avodah performed via compelling oneself by doing a skafia, limitation and constriction amidst poverty. Since the Geula has not yet come, the Rebbe says, this itself is proof that it is dependent on our deeds and our avodah in this generation. It is specifically through avodah amidst boundaries and limitations and concealments which derive from gevuros, because amazing powers are hidden away within these gevuros, powers which can bring the Geula. There's a rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not demand of us more than we have the power to accomplish. Therefore, we have the power to bring the Geula, since this is what is demanded of us, to be a partner with the Eibishter in this, not just to help. A partner implies being involved in all the details in a complete matter. Since a Yid is part of Elikus, a Chelik Elokai, he possesses the greatest powers to bring about the greatest things, even until the command of be holy because I am holy. So the Pasuk in the Torah, and the sages comment on this, holy like me? not with surprise, but with certainty. That's a chiddush of the Rebbe. It seems like the sage is just saying, well, you could be holy like me. The Rebbe says, absolutely, you could be holy like the Eibishter. All of us have the responsibility to add and avoid it, to bring Mashiach in actuality. There is no room to rely on others, the Rebbe says in the Sicha. Each one needs to do the avoida of to serve my master by himself. And he is given the power to do this. How? By adding and turning mitzvahs, the revealed and the pneumias, and fulfilling mitzvahs in an exemplary manner, behidur, and influencing others to do the same. Spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit and the wellsprings of chassidus outward, and the latter especially brings about the master comes, this is the King Mashiach. And all of this, says the Rebbe, all of this amidst anticipation and yearning for the Geula.